Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Francine Foss and Lynn Wilson. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology, specializing in the treatment of lymphomas. Dr. Wilson is a professor of therapeutic radiology and an expert in the use of radiation to treat lung cancers and cutaneous lymphomas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This week, we welcome Patty, a breast cancer survivor. Here's Francine Foss.
I'd like to open up the show by having you tell us a little bit about yourself, how old you are, you know, what was your life like, and how you got the cancer diagnosis.
So I'm 50 years old. I've had a good life. No reason to believe that I would be a candidate or join this club. Had my mammograms yearly just because it was what I was told to do and kept with that program of yearly mammograms. I did have a mass found about 5 years ago, but it was diagnosed as being benign. So I just continued with my mammograms yearly and moved on. This year when I went for my mammogram, they again found something, told me they were going to monitor it. I'm not a waiter, not very good at waiting. So I thought I could just go on my own to a breast surgeon and have whatever it was removed. Quickly found out that's not the way it works. I got a call from my doctor asking what I was doing, and I didn't have a referral for a breast surgeon. Told her I was most comfortable having it removed. She reassured me that the thought on mammogram was that it was nothing, but she would do a biopsy. Went for a biopsy where they were going to drain what they thought was a cyst. Could not drain it. Sent me for a second biopsy. And I think I knew. I think I knew that it wasn't going to come back well. November 22nd, the week of Thanksgiving, I got a call from her telling me that the pathology had come back and I had breast cancer.
So you'd gone quite a long time now with a lump at this point.
No, actually, because it was my annual mammogram that it was found at. And I, again, not being a waiter, was probably the patient that doctors hate because I was like, can you just do it right now while I'm still in the office? So it was pretty quick that I had the biopsy, and then pretty quick to have the second biopsy. Okay. So it wasn't that long of a time.
Okay, and you were very proactive in this whole process.
Yeah, I have to say, I think that that's something that I firmly believe in, and I've really never been sick a day in my life, but going through it with my parents, I think you really have to advocate for yourself. I tell people all the time that doctors see a lot of patients, but nobody really knows you like you know you, so it's really your job to make sure if you feel something that you really, you know, advocate for yourself and get yourself up to the front of that line and get it checked.
So had you had other friends with breast cancer or any personal history of it or exposure to it in your family or anybody that you knew?
You know, I can't say anyone in my family had breast cancer. I have managed breast cancer walks recently because of what I do for a living. It was something that was brought to us as a charity that we were going to support through McDonald's. So I was running breast cancer walks and did run into people there and always thought, you know, how strong they were and how they had made it. And here I am trying to support you but can't really understand what you're going through. On Mother's Day, we would do a walk at Lighthouse. So I have supported the cause but never really had it touch close to home for me.
So what was your initial reaction when you found out that it was cancer?
Well, I'll tell you, I had a funny reaction, I believe, but the true reaction was when the doctor called me, I think for a moment I almost felt vindicated because I was starting to feel like I was being such a nuisance, pressing and pressing for this biopsy that the medical people really didn't think I might have needed. So I almost for a moment wanted to say, I told you so. But she initially said to me, you know, do you have any questions? And I thought I should have hundreds of questions, but I need a minute to figure out what those questions are. Because it hadn't touched home for me or close to me, I didn't know what I should ask. So I asked what was probably a foolish question, but in my own way to find out where I stood. And I said to her, it was the week of Thanksgiving and cold weather was coming. And I said, I just bought a brand new coat and it was very expensive. And she said, well, what is your question? And I said, my question is, do I cut the price tags off or do I return the coat? And she said, are you trying to ask me if you're going to make it through the winter? And I said, well, yeah. And she said, oh, you're not going to die from this. You know, you can beat this. And she put me at ease with telling me to cut the tags off my coat, which now sounds so crazy, but I couldn't just form that sentence to say to her, you know, am I dying? So that's how I asked her.
So as a patient, did you really want to hear you have cancer, but you're really going to be okay?
I think so, but I was happy that she used the word cancer, but yet it was, I have to say, I take him back a minute, because that's exactly what she said, is you have breast cancer. There was no fluffing it up. You have breast cancer. And for a second, I guess I wish she would have said that. But now in hindsight, after dealing with Dr. Chagpar, I mean, I don't know if it would have been fair for her to say that. And would I wanted her to give me false hope? No. Or tell me either way, when it was so new and she didn't really know.
So you got the bad news right before a holiday, and then you had to go through the whole holiday with your family. When was the next time that you got any more information about what was going on?
Well, I got the phone call about diagnosis on Monday, November 22nd, and I was getting ready to go out Christmas shopping. And that day halted. My daughter came immediately over. She's a nurse. She's young nurse. She came over, and I was immediately surrounded by family. And all I could think to myself was, it looked like I was at a wake, but with no food. And everyone came around and were just sitting, waiting for me to need something or say something. And I really didn't know what I was supposed to need or what I was supposed to say. But I was very lucky. So Dr. Gary Friedlander from orthopedics at Yale, who was a trusted friend, I called, and he immediately told me the person I needed to see was Dr. Chagpar at Smilo. And by Wednesday of that week, 2 days later, I was able to get an appointment and go meet with her. And so I went into the next day, Thanksgiving Day, really already feeling like I was at ease with it, because I met with her. We talked for hours. She explained the diagnosis completely. She explained all of my options, all of the pathology, all of the big scary words. For hours we spoke. We spoke for so long that I started to think she must have another patient. But she never made me feel like she had another patient. It was just me for the whole day. And then I remember on Thanksgiving Day, her calling me and me thinking, what doctor does that? Who calls a patient on a holiday to tell me, don't be anxious. If you have any questions, just email me, just call me. We've got this. It's early. You have options. So she really did a great job of putting me at ease right from day one.
That's terrific. I hope that other women can have that kind of experience also.
Yeah, I think that I was blessed, but I'm sure there's lots of Dr. Chagpars and Dr. Fusis out there. They really, really did make me feel like they had it, and then I put my trust in them. And people would ask me, my family members, have you read this book, or did you Google it, or, you know, have you read this article? And I thought, that's not my role. My role isn't to become completely educated on ductal carcinoma and what are my chances. My job was to find a team of doctors that I trusted and trust that they were educated in that and do what they told me to do. And that was the road I chose to take.
Can you share with us, you said ductal cancer, can you share with us, you know, the type of cancer, what your treatment was and what the outcome was?
Dr. Chagpar did offer me, first of all, something that I liked about when I spoke with her from day one was I had all those questions. How advanced is it? What treatment am I going to have? How long is it going to be? How much of my life is this going to take? Will it take my life? And she was very clear with me from day one and told me there's only two people that can answer a lot of your questions. One of them is God, and he's not here. And one of them is the pathologist, and we haven't gotten to them yet. She made it very clear to me how important the pathologist was, because that pathology would determine my treatment. But the first step was to remove it, and then they would be able to answer a lot of those other questions. So that's what I focused on first, getting myself booked for surgery, finding a plastic surgeon. She did describe a lot of different options, many, many options. I told her I wanted to have the most, you know, I want everything out. I want everything as much as you can do. For me, the waiting and taking the lesser road now would not have been the right answer. So I opted for the biggest surgery and the most surgery and, you know, taking everything.
And that's a difficult question for most women when they're posed with it, which is, what do you want to do now? You know, there's two, as you said, very major options. One of them is a small procedure that could be followed up by a second procedure. And the other one is to have the whole thing removed and then face the possibility of reconstruction. So you went down the latter road.
Yeah, I did. I opted for a double mastectomy. Another piece of good advice that Dr. Chagpar gave me was to make my decision that was right for me, and then be firm with it. Because there are a lot of opinions out there. There's many, many, many roads that women travel when they get a diagnosis like this. And I don't think there are any right or wrong. It's only a matter of what's right or wrong for you. So I did make my decision. I knew that was the right decision for me. But I did get some feedback that, you know, that's a long surgery. It was 17 hours. It was a big surgery. I didn't even know you could be asleep and have surgery for that long. A bit of recovery. But for me, it made me know that I did everything that I could do at that moment. And that's what I needed for me, was to do everything I could at that moment. I remember when I went back and she read the pathology 10 days after the surgery, she told me that they had found some ductal carcinoma in the other breast. It was only found in one. I opted for the double. And I remember saying to her, thank God. And she said, why thank God? And I said, well, now again, I feel vindicated, because I felt like I needed to do this radical procedure when people were saying, you're stage one, you could get away with much less. But I thought that in my mind, I would be okay with the fact that I wouldn't have to revisit this again. So when they found it in the other breast, undetected on mammogram, I was happy, because then I thought I've done the right thing by doing it now.
So you've been your own advocate and it's really paid off for you.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not easy, because you don't want to, again, entrust a doctor, but then question. But she, you know, she gave me the options. And I said to her, is this the wrong decision to be so radical? And she said, none of the options that I've given you are the wrong. They're all options. Whatever you choose, that's right for you. So
it's difficult to handle that indecision when you're faced with those kinds of really, really tough decisions. Did you feel that you got enough information, and did you actually go to other sources like the internet to look up, you know, the difference between the radical surgery and the more conservative surgery? Or did you just kind of have a gut feeling you knew what you wanted to do?
I can't say that I did look it up anywhere, but I will say again, she was very thorough, from drawing pictures to giving me recurrence percentages of what my recurrence rate might be. She really gave me almost a book when I left there of each option, what it would look like physically and now and time, and what it might look like in the future, and what you're seeing for recurrence rates should I choose to take that option. So I felt like I got an education just sitting there for the couple hours I sat with her that day that she read it to me.
So how soon was it from that appointment to the time you actually had the surgery?
Well, that was learning for me, because I thought I could just say next week. And I remember saying to Dr. Chagpar, it's Christmas. I have a lot of things to do. And she said, cancer never comes at a good time. It's never an opportune time to find out you have cancer. But it can't be next week. We can't do surgery next week. You have to find a plastic surgeon first. And I did go to a couple, and I will say there was a few. I guess I thought that I would find the most compassion in a woman, so I started out going to see some women. It wasn't a good match. As a matter of fact, one of them, I ended up walking out in the middle of the consultation. It just didn't feel right. I ended up finding a man, Dr. Fusi. It was amazing. It was as soon as I went in and he started to talk to me, I knew that he was the right person for me. So I picked a plastic surgeon. And then January 11th was my big day.
We're going to have to take a break here for a medical minute. Please stay tuned and hear more about Patty's experience with breast cancer.
It's estimated that nearly 200,000 men in the U.S. will be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year, and over 2,000 new cases will be diagnosed in Connecticut alone. 1 in 6 American men will develop prostate cancer in the course of his lifetime. Major advances in the detection and treatment of prostate cancer have dramatically decreased the number of men who die from this disease. Screening for prostate cancer can be performed quickly and easily in a physician's office using two simple tests, a physical exam and a blood test. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers like the one at Yale to test innovative new treatments for prostate cancer. The Da Vinci robotic surgical system is an option available for patients at Yale that uses three-dimensional imaging to enable the surgeon to perform a prostatectomy without the need for a large incision. This has been a Medical Minute, and more information is available at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Francine Foss, and I'm joined today by my guest, Patty, who was sharing her cancer story. We talked to Patty earlier about the diagnosis of breast cancer and the fact that she underwent a fairly radical surgical procedure. Patty, can you just, for our listeners who might be thinking about the option of the mastectomy versus the local procedure, can you talk about the surgery, the recovery, and whether or not you're glad at this point that you made that decision?
First, I would tell you that I'm absolutely glad that I made the decision that I made for me, But I am respectful of the fact that everyone has a different path in this diagnosis, with this diagnosis. So for me, it was being where I was told to be by Dr. Chagpar, which was at Smilo on January 11th. It was the day of the big storm here in Connecticut, but that didn't affect me. I will tell you that I think I had the easier time being asleep during the procedure than my family had waiting. That's a long time to wait for somebody that you love, knowing that they're in surgery. They were great communicating from the OR into the waiting room to let them know as they removed lymph nodes and as initial pathology was coming back that lymph nodes were clear on both sides, so they kept giving them hope that things were going well. It was a long procedure. I had a deep, deep flap procedure, and they did a radical tummy tuck and took my stomach tissue to try to do the reconstruction. I also had to have chest expanders put in with the double mastectomy, so all done at the same time. I was told I'd be in the hospital for some days recovering, spent one day in ICU, one day on the floor, and then was discharged that Friday. So I was in the hospital the day of surgery and 2 days following. They were great to me. I felt great. Went home, had a follow-up appointment a week from surgery where I had any drains that were left in from the surgery removed. And I just feel like that was just, just back on with life. So a little slow moving. I know it's different for everyone. For me, it was not as bad as I thought. I think the picture they painted for me, and I accepted, was worse than what I actually had to deal with afterwards. But I just concentrated on doing what the doctor told me to do and not doing what they told me not to do, and it worked for me.
Did you have to go through any rehab after the surgery, and how long was it before you got back to work?
I did not have any rehab. I am lucky in that I have a sister who's an occupational therapist. So quickly after the surgery, I started to notice that I had a shoulder that wasn't responding quite well. And to me, that was odd because I thought I had breast surgery. What does that have to do with my shoulder? And I was told that they could explain the anatomy to me and how, but I didn't need to know that. I just needed to know what to do to get my shoulder to reach above my head again. And she did. She, hooked up some pulleys over a door and told me to sit here a few times a day and what I needed to do. And I did that, and my shoulder came back. And I had taken a month off of work originally and told them that's what I thought I would give this disease was a month, and I planned on being back and thought that would be an aggressive goal. But I'd say a couple weeks after surgery, I was up and about, a little stiff, not quite back to the gym yet, not lifting, but up and dressed and feeling like myself to the point of people would say to me, "Did you have your surgery yet?" And I would say, "Yes," and they'd say, "You don't look like you had any surgery," and I would laugh and tell them, "Don't make me take my clothes off and show you my scars because I've had surgery." But, getting yourself up and getting yourself going, I think, goes a long way to recovery.
How hard was all of this for your family?
I would say that I think it was harder on them than on me. I have a son and a daughter and my husband. I think they worried about me much more than I worried about myself. My daughter being, again, a nurse and a new nurse, having just enough knowledge and have seen how it could have maybe went. So I think it was harder for them worrying about me and taking care of me. But for me, that just motivated me more to try to get better so that they wouldn't have to worry about me.
So the big question that we always ask cancer survivors is, how has your life changed now that you're a cancer survivor compared to what it was before?
Well, I spoke at the Pink Picnic recently for the Yale Cancer Center, and I was thinking about just that question as I went into that, because I think that's the more important part. The first important part is that you can get through it, that a phone call that you have breast cancer isn't a death sentence, that you can live through this. And then what do you take away from it? And I don't really see it as a negative in my life. I truly do think that I've emerged from that diagnosis very, very enlightened that it's not a death sentence. Very enriched by the amount of people that have risen to take care of me and to love me and to do anything that I did need when I needed anything, and really empowered. I mean, empowered with my own strength and the fact that, I'm able to give back to other people, and you don't have to look very far to find someone who has it much worse. So that's really, I think, how I've come out of it, realizing that there's a lot of people, even when I talk about my surgery, a lot of people that have it much, much worse. So consider myself thankful.
Can you tell us about the Pink Picnic?
Yeah, the Pink Picnic was actually really nice. I was invited to come as a speaker. It was at BJ's. BJ's is doing a great job to raise money for different centers and the Yale Cancer Center specifically. And I think that it's important. It's an important way to give back, to support the people that are raising money so that we continue to do research and to find answers so that women can, you know, continue to have options when they get this diagnosis. So I was happy to speak at it, happy to support somebody who's supporting this cause, and always happy to do anything for Dr. Chagpar, because, you know, I told her in an email one day that my mom and dad may be why I'm on this earth, but she's the reason I remain. So I mean, I'm forever thankful to her for what she's done for me.
Can you talk a little bit about the whole issue of networking among other breast cancer survivors? Were you able to meet other women after your diagnosis? And is that network, active and working the way you think it should be working?
It's very active. It definitely works. I think that it's ebbs and flows. It's funny because I found myself meeting some women whose diagnosis on paper would have looked like me. Exactly my path. It's scary how similar our paths were running. And when I would meet with them, I would find that they weren't in as good a place as I was in, and feeling guilty. Feeling like I should say that I was worse than I was, only because I felt so guilty that they weren't having the same, you know, easy road that I felt I was having. But then after the fact of talking to them, they would say that they were inspired by the fact that there was hope that they would get better by seeing me doing well. So it's a little bit complex when we get together. It's complex, but I think we all feed off of each other. We all get something from each other. So it's a good thing. It's a good network. And I talk to women now that are going into this procedure that I've had. They've actually asked to see scars, and I'm more than happy to show them to them, because I think sometimes when you see it, it's less scary than what you might imagine. So we're definitely there for each other, and it's definitely a strong network.
What kind of resources are out there other than the resources at the Smilo Cancer Center? Maybe you could talk a little bit about what those are and whether there are other resources out there that you would recommend for women going through this.
I have to say it was one-stop shopping for me. I'm sure there's a lot of other things out there, but I found everything I needed at Smilo, just everything, from people to places to get what I needed to resources, just everything. Everything I needed was there. The connections with other women, and I've gotten a lot through Dr. Fusi's office, through the plastic surgeon's office, a lot of women who've been through the procedure and have either been very successful, or maybe they're having a little bit of a tougher time and they're reaching out to you to try to see what it, you know, can I make it, and to hear your story. But it's you really can find everything you need to know right there.
And do you recommend that women go to the internet?
For me, I would say no. For me, I think you can find anything, and if you look long enough, you'll either think you're dying or you'll think you don't have it. So I don't recommend it. I'm not comfortable with it.
One of the things that you've stressed in the conversation is the importance of the relationship with your doctor. And I wonder if you have advice for women in terms of finding the right doctor.
I think that I'll say that some of it for me is my upbringing and my heritage. So being brought up in an Italian household, I was brought up to never question the doctor. The doctor tells you something, you don't ever get a second opinion, you do what the doctor says. I didn't practice that in this instance. Dr. Chagpar was the first that I found for a breast surgeon, and I loved her immediately and trusted her immediately. I did search a little bit for my plastic surgeon until I found it was right for me. So I would say you have to find, for me, I had to find somebody that was skilled clinically, but also had that bedside manner that I could talk to. Because if you can't bring anything to your doctor, whether they're skilled or not, they're not going to be able to help you with it. So I think you really just need to find somebody that you're comfortable with, because, you know, it's a long process. I mean, I just went back for a 6-month checkup, and I was anxious to go back and see Dr. Chagpar. And to be quite honest with you, less concerned about what she was going to tell me where I was in 6 months, and more just anxious to go see this woman who had done this amazing thing for me. And the news was good at 6 months, but I have many more 6-month visits to take. And I know whatever it is, if it's good, I'll celebrate with her. And if it isn't good, she'll get me through it.
How do you prepare for those scans, those follow-up visits when, you know, you're having something like a scan and you don't know the outcome of that?
Well, it's funny. This was my first one. So I just had my first 6-month follow-up. And it seemed like it was just yesterday. When I saw it coming up on my calendar, I thought, I just stopped thinking about this every day. And now I'm starting to think about it every day because I need to go back for this checkup. But I went in, and again, she just puts you so at ease. She came into the room, and the first thing I said to her is, look how beautiful the plastic surgeon did. And, you know, I look amazing, and forgot about the fact that that wasn't what I was there for. I was there to find out if I was, you know, had another 6 months. And And I did, and I got good news from her. But it is a little trying when you see that time come up on the calendar and 6 months again to go back. But I think when you've had success the first time, maybe it makes it a little easier because you think, I always say, I think I've got this because that's how she makes me feel. She makes me feel like I've got it. As long as I stick with her and do what she tells me to do, I've got it. So
do you believe that at any specific point in time that you'll not be worried about this? In other words, like a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now? Or do you think you're always going to worry?
I don't know if I'll ever not fret about the six-month visit. I may fret forever on that. But I can't really say that I worry about it every day. I mean, I've actually been told at some points by people that I don't give it the disease enough respect. I'm not sure what that means. But I don't want to really give it any more than what it's taken from me. It took the time it took for my surgery and my recovery and that initial worrying. But I'm not going to live every day worrying about it. If I didn't worry about it until that point, had no reason to believe I would get breast cancer, and I did. So I guess the worrying about it and spending every day thinking about it isn't going to prevent it from coming back. If it is, it is. And I'll just have to do what Dr. Chagpar tells me to do that time.
A lot of women make major lifestyle changes, like they exercise if they didn't exercise. They change their diets significantly. Have you done any of that?
I haven't done that since this diagnosis, but it's funny because I had done that a year or so before that. I had just lost 50 pounds. I was eating better. I was learning to love the gym. So I thought to myself, like, this is an odd time for it to come now when I'm healthier than I've been in most of my adult life. But then somebody quickly said to me, but it's a good time for it to come when you're the healthiest you've been in your adult life. You're more able to handle that long surgery and that recovery. So for whatever reason I made those changes a year before, I'm thankful that I did. I found myself to be a little more adventurous. I did just get back from a trip to Africa. I went bungee jumping off Victoria Falls, and I tell the story because the gentleman that put me to the edge of the bridge said, "Are you afraid?" And I said, "Am I afraid? I just had breast cancer. You know, pushed me off the bridge." And I jumped off the bridge, and it was amazing. So I guess a little bit less afraid that you're going to step out in traffic.
Now, is that something that you'd recommend for other breast cancer survivors?
It was amazing. I would have done it again. I would definitely recommend to live life, because you never know when that one doctor's appointment that you least expect it is going to be that call. So live life.
Would you have done that before if you didn't have breast cancer?
I don't think I would have. I have to say, I got my diagnosis at 49, and within 6 months, I went from never having a passport in my life to getting a passport, going to France, going to London, going to Africa. So while I don't like to think it changed me that much, maybe it did. Maybe it made me a little bit more... You know, it's easier for me now to say, yes, I'm not going to wait till tomorrow and I'm not too busy. Yes, I can do that today.
Can you talk about a sensitive issue, which is relationships? You know, when you've had breast cancer and you've had surgery, relationships with your partner and how that changes?
Absolutely, because that definitely does come up. And my husband and I are married 28 years. And it was funny because I made a lot of decisions in that office with Dr. Chagpar that first day. And never did I even think, but other people obviously did, because they asked me afterwards, "What does your husband think?" Or even after my reconstruction, I was so happy, and people would say to me, "What does your husband think?" Or, you know, "What will you do with your reconstruction? Will you ask them to keep you looking the same or different? And what does your husband think?" And I thought that was such an odd question to me, because in my relationship with my husband, I never would have thought to ask him what he thought I should do with my body. I always assumed those were my decisions to make, and he would just be there to support that, as he was. But again, I think that it's whatever road, you know, you're in, whatever relationship you're in. For me, it was never a question. I could have went home with no reconstruction or total reconstruction. He was completely supportive of what I decided to do, and couldn't be happier.
Patty is a cancer survivor. If you have questions or would like to add your comments, visit yalecancercenter.org, where you can also get the podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.